Hello and welcome to Horrorspiria. My name is May.
Welcome to Horrorspiria. My name is Clinton. I'm Clinton, quarantine Clinton again.
We're always quarantined.
That's right. Like we should be.
Yes.
To prevent the spread of the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus, yes. And it is late June.
Uh-huh. Someone's vacuuming upstairs. I don't know if listeners can hear that at home.
I think they might be able to, but I don't think so.
This is your reminder. Clean your floors.
Yeah, it's a good PSA to do. You're not wrong. So, yes, it is late June. And what are we talking about today?
We are talking about three series that you can watch on Netflix right now.
Yeah, I think that was an accident. But then we realized it, but maybe it wasn't an accident. So, full disclosure, I didn't think of this episode today. So,
oh,
today's
wow.
episode.
Are you throwing it at my feet here?
No, because people do like.
This carcass of an episode?
People do like these series. So.
Okay. I'm one of those people present today. I loved two of these series, and I liked the third one, even though. When we were texting about it, I kind of busted up on it a bit. I enjoyed all three of these series. And they are from India, Colombia, and South Korea.
Yes.
So we got a good mix.
Yes. So that is what we are going to be looking at today. We're looking at Kingdom, which is from South Korea. We're looking at La Frontera Verde, Green Frontier, which is from Colombia. And we are looking at Bataal. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Okay,
Bataal. You're the expert here.
I think so. I think it's Bataal. And that came out just about a month ago now from India.
And this is a couple firsts for us. We haven't talked about anything from India
on the pod.
And yeah. We've never branched outside of movies, right?
So this
is our first time for a couple things.
Did we ever watch What We Do in the Shadows?
No, but we talked about it in the intros, you know.
Okay. But we never saw the movie?
Not for the pod.
Yeah,
we haven't done a satire.
Okay, we should do satire soon. Okay. No, yeah, that's absolutely right. So... That's awesome. And Clinton, actually, he's really good at watching series. I'm really good at watching movies, but Clinton's always watching something, which I think is cool. I think it's very cool.
I guess I've never really engaged with that question of like, do I prefer a series?
I think because you can like walk away from it.
That's true.
A little bit.
I love to walk away.
Yeah. Whereas with movies, it's kind of like, it's like the Michael Scott, The Office thing, right? When he like makes them watch things in 15 minute spurts.
Oh my gosh.
It's easier to do that with a series than like a movie that's 2 hours.
Yeah. Where I'm like in jail and prison of cinema where I have to.
Yeah.
Lock eyes with the screen for 2 hours.
All right. Okay. So that's fair.
Right.
So this was curated by Clinton. And so I'm proud of him. Good.
Oh, thank you.
Content.
Has this student
become the professor?
The
no. Though actually, Clinton will be our analytical source today because I hated all of these.
Oh, man.
And so I gave up on watching them a couple seasons in. A couple episodes in. They felt like seasons.
Oh, my God.
The one that I did, I almost did all of The Green Frontier before. I think what happened is we hung out and you were like, well, if you hate it, you don't have to watch all of it. And I was like, okay, that works.
Yeah, I set that rule. I think we should have a standard where you have to watch at least so much of a series. So I don't think, you know, because it is a bigger time commitment overall.
Oh my God. I watched Kingdom with Delia, and Delia loves Korean dramas. So she's used to the format of them because that's what Kingdom is. It's more like a Korean drama. And she was like, oh, wow, this is short for Korean drama. Usually their episodes are 90 minutes long.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
Yeah. That makes me think of like the British, what was it? Sherlock Holmes shows that were like 90 minutes, but that was only, that's a whole different structure, I guess. Do you want to, let's go piece by piece, right?
Okay. Well, before we go piece by piece.
Yeah.
How has quarantine been?
Oh, God. So what is this? What are we on now? Month three?
End of June.
So March, April, May, June. So we're approaching kind of our fourth month.
Right.
Sort of, depending on where you count. I'm all right, you know? I'm poking my head out. I'm a little Pennsylvania Phil.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a reference. That's cute. Okay, that's good. Yeah, quarantine's been interesting. It's been really hot in DC and protests are going on, which is great and also tiring at the same time because these are people that shouldn't have to be, none of us should have to be like pushing forward for this, but you know, it's kind of beautiful seeing everyone come together and things like that, fighting for something equal. And I think it's been an interesting year so far.
Yeah. Oh man, interesting is a super mild way of putting it. Or
But what have you been watching?
Shows for the podcast.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
I thought, but you've been doing that. Tell them what you've been doing instead.
Just Dance.
Yes.
Yeah. Just Dance for the Nintendo Switch. I am an unofficial brand ambassador.
Yeah.
My two stepchildren love it. And that gives me, you know, dance partner whenever I want.
Yeah.
Not really as good as it sounds because sometimes, you know, a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, they don't really want to dance with you, but maybe 60% of the time they're going to put in some effort, you know?
What do you do the other 40% of the time?
They're on the couch. They just like change their mind mid-song or just decide to just move their arms and not move their entire bodies, you know? Embarrassing. So,
like
the entire
Britney Spears, the very.
Yeah. Yeah. But they just got, yeah. So it's varying degrees of success, but it's been the purchase of the quarantine.
Purchase
Just
is,
Dance.
Yes.
And you got to get the Just Dance Unlimited package, like a subscription service.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just dancing to the same 12 songs and that's a fool's errand.
What's your go-to?
Go-to songs?
Yeah.
Well, there's a Katy Perry
Zed
song.
365. I'm not gonna lie, I like that song.
Yes, yes. Oh yeah, I could see you
she
going
sounds
further
like an
away
alien in it.
Yeah, and so the dance is like a maid, like a robot maid.
Oh,
and it's this cool. That's one of the coolest things about Just Dance. It opens your mind to the power of dance. That this song, which sounds like an alien, and then this dance, which feels like you're an alien made robot. How do you put those two together and you got a whole cinematic experience in 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
I feel like you just discovered what interpretive dance is.
I did. It has a much bigger place in my life now than it did before.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted you to bring that on because I thought that it's really cute.
Yeah.
I, on the main hand, have a life. No, I'm kidding. I've been watching. Well,
I'll
actually,
be the judge
no,
of that.
Because all I've been doing is watching everything that I like and Clinton doesn't like. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I finished Better Call Saul.
Uh-huh.
It changed my life. I think everyone needs to watch Better Call Saul for clear skin.
Okay.
But also, just for their soul.
Did you watch? How many seasons did this thing go?
It's
this thing.
Sixth season is and
six.
It's the final season is coming out next year. I don't know
Seven.
If that's like real.
Yeah.
No. Like the final season is the sixth season and that's next year.
Okay. If there is
but
a next year.
Exactly. I watched 5 seasons and they're all on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's just I knew it was going to be good, but damn, I didn't know it was going to be like the best thing I've seen in years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I was watching Better Call Saul and then I watched these series and I'm like, man, I think I'm just spoiled. I think I'm just spoiled.
Well, there's something wrong with you, but I don't know if it's this spoiled thing. So here's, no, honestly, here's a question that I would just like to lob out.
Yeah.
Because it's, it requires zero thought on my part, but it, but I'm interested in knowing the answer.
Yeah.
You have to put the two head to head, Breaking Bad versus Better Call Saul.
Oh, Better Call Saul.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And it's funny. That's not even a unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
And I really boiled it down to two different things. Breaking Bad is just like from the beginning, and you saw Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
Breaking Bad from the beginning, like crazy shit happens every episode. It's so tenseful. And that was part of its appeal. Like yeah. It was like
tenseful.
Tenseful. Tense?
That doesn't sound right. Tenseful. It's tenseful.
I don't think tenseful is a word. Anyway, no, but yeah, it was like a masterclass in suspense and tension. I mean, that is what the train scene and I mean, it was a masterpiece. But the crazy thing about Better Call Saul, Saul was my favorite on the show. So I already was.
Even more than Aaron Rodgers?
I didn't. Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, I think. Aaron Paul.
Yes.
I didn't like Aaron Paul.
Jesse Pinkman, you loved. Come on.
I like everyone on Breaking Bad. I really, even Skyler. I know people don't like Skyler. I liked Skyler.
Yeah.
But to me, they were all equally bad, except I actually really liked Saul and Mike because they felt like the moral center in a way. Even though Saul was like kind of crazy, he was always trying to be like, no, you shouldn't, you know, like that's getting up to too much escalation.
Yeah.
And then Mike,
which is a fun character, actually.
He was
in that story.
Yeah, I'm finding
out for the first time.
And Mike was like, you know, he seemed like the guardian of everything. And then what's his name? Walter. Uh-huh. Walter shoots him in the back. Like, it's fucked up. Anyway, but Better Call Saul primarily is Mike and Saul. But probably the smartest thing that Better Call Saul people did, and it's the same people. Peter Gould is on Better Call Saul, and he's the showrunner, but Vince helps write everything, and Vince was the showrunner for Breaking Bad. So it's, like, very consistent. Same beautiful cinematography, same color palette, but it's a different story. In Better Call Saul, the other main character is a lady lawyer, Kim, and it's Saul's love interest.
Oh, that's...
But we never got her in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And seeing, and it starts a little bit before the events of Breaking Bad, but not too far behind, only about like a couple years before, because now things are starting to align in Breaking Bad world. And you have this incredible new character. She's just written so insanely well. Like,
really?
I have not encountered a lady character written this well in a very long time.
Is it Rhea Seehorn?
Rhea Seehorn, yeah. And she graduated from George Mason.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alum.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. No, but yeah, so I just, the reason why I say all of that is Better Call Saul is tense, but there's a lot of character building. Like, you understand why Saul is the way he is and why, and so the other main characters are Gus. So you get to see the beginnings of Gus as well. You get to see the beginnings of the cartel, the new cartel characters, because I would actually say the cartel characters are more main characters in this series. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the main characters is a cartel guy. You follow him in every episode. And it, again, brings so much humanity and so much depth. And I'm really enjoying it. I feel like the mistakes they made in Breaking Bad, which a lot of it was like, it's a bit fetishization, the lady characters aren't written well. Mm-hmm. They really listen to that for Better Call Saul, and it's just, it takes off.
Yeah.
And it's, again, a popular opinion. Most people think Better Call Saul, the series writing, is much stronger than Breaking Bad. Mm. So that was my excuse to big up Better Call Saul.
All right. Can I offer a critical counterpoint?
Go ahead.
I watched 5 minutes of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Probably 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
I felt the same way.
At the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I only watched a couple.
I couldn't get there.
I saw it with new eyes. But you know, also another thing, I just rewatched El Camino. Well, no, not El Camino. Breaking Bad.
Yes.
And for El Camino. Uh-huh. So a lot of that was really fresh in my mind.
Oh.
So it actually has been kind of fun remembering things, because I think the first time Better Call Saul premiered, it had been a couple years after. And I was just like, yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, no, it's better.
I think I kind of like tried to anticipate what they were going to do based on that first couple minutes. And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah, no.
Which is not the right way to approach that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
I super love it. It's turned me on to this new Mexican actor called Tony Dalton. Mm. And I thought that he was in other stuff.
Okay.
But this is his first American thing.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, this guy
needs a breakout.
And he's a breakout, like, in the last season or so. We didn't start with him. He's a later addition.
Uh-huh.
And he is just next level insane. Like, really,
as
really
in,
great.
Like, plays an insane.
There's definitely something very dark there,
uh-huh.
But Quentin right now, I think,
looking
is Googling.
Looking on the IMDb.
He is a very handsome man. And so he has like this Mexican James Dean suave to him.
Okay.
But you know, he's one of the most violent cartel members, but he's very charming. And Saul and Kim get into, it's just like incredible. It really, I cannot speak higher of Better Call Saul. And I've also been trying to finish The Americans, but that's been more difficult. And yeah, I think I just really wanted to talk about Better Call Saul for a second.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, it's good that I'm glad you're getting to talk about something you like on this podcast, because
yeah, I'm not going to try and trash these other three series. So, yeah, I today I'm the historical background, I
okay.
guess. All right.
And I'll give you that, yeah, that flavor that
Clinton will
you
tell you actually.
This.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are the good episodes?
The
and
recommendation.
Why yeah. Very good. Oh, and watch What We Do in the Shadows. But I think I said that last time.
You did.
Okay, cool. All right. Are we ready?
Yes. So where are we starting?
So we're going to start in chronological order. The kind of interesting thing about this episode is that everything is really recent. Everything is less than 2 years old in its release. And so the first one is going to be Kingdom, which premiered in January of 2019. Then it is Green Frontier, which was August of 2019. And then Batal is only a month old.
Yeah. 2020.
All right, so let's get started.
이끌리면 이 나라 모든 곳에 역병이 퍼질 것이다. 막아야 한다.
세자는요?
그 일을 방해하는 자들 모두 죽일 것이다. 그 불의와 싸워서 이기시는 것만이 대의를 바로 세우시는 길입니다.
조학조의 반응이 크게 달했습니다. 도와주십시오.
Everyone, and that was a bit of Kingdom, which was directed by Kim Sung-hun and written by Kim Yeon-hee. And Kim Yeon-hee is actually a lady, so that's pretty cool. And the interesting thing a lot of you will notice about international series is that it's one writer, one director for all of it, and so that is true for Kingdom. So
that is interesting, because here in America, there's like a bunch of different directors for different episodes, right?
Yeah, and writers. Usually there's like a writer's room. And that's pretty common across. I think I even want to say in the UK as well, though I guess it depends on what series it is in the UK. Like yes. Fleabag was by one person. But yeah, so that's who's
from. And this is the first, Netflix's first South Korean series.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a pretty big deal, because it seems like the South Korean market for television, pop culture, is huge.
It is huge. K-dramas are extremely popular. My best friend has been obsessed with them since I first met her when we were 15. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't realize that was a statistic. I thought that they would have gotten into K-dramas before.
Right. Me too.
Okay.
And this is an adaptation of a webcomic series.
Oh,
authored by Kim Eun-hee. Is that I said that right?
Yeah, so same one.
And drawn by Yang Kyung-il.
So she wrote the novel and she wrote the series.
The series, yeah.
So that's good.
That's really cool. This show, to me, feels so much like Game of Thrones. Its presentation.
Yes.
It
is beautiful. I will say that.
Beautiful.
It is one of the most great thing. Like, its cinematography was gorgeous. And I don't know if you know this, but every single episode costs $2 million.
Every single episode costs $2 million.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. I would say money well spent. And actually, so if you don't know anything about, what are we talking about? We know it's from South Korea.
It is set in the Joseon period, which is 1392 to 1897. Basically, that is...
Which covers a lot of ground there, I guess.
It is definitely...
Probably on the lower end of the 1392, you know, probably not the 1800.
But it was getting to the 1400s.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So... I mean, that is basically the period that is very prolific with Korean arts and cultures, especially in the modern times, because what happened in 1897 to 1910 was the Korean Empire, but then Japan annexed Korea in 1910. And that's actually something we discussed when we talked about Korean horror, especially The Wailing. Remember, that is where a lot of historical unrest is sown. But the whole point is that the Joseon period is very symbolic and important to Korean culture and Korean history. And Kim Sung-hun said that it was very intentional, you know, to mix the zombies with the politics of this period and what they represent, to kind of make it a modern illusion using their own history. So that's interesting.
One quick fact check. What were the years on the time period?
1392 to 1897.
Okay. And then to get more specific, according to the Wikipedia, it says set during Korea's Joseon period, a few years after the Japanese invasions in 1592 to 1598. So that might be the more specific.
I think that's the middle Joseon period. I actually did see that.
And really, this show asks the central question, what if, because zombies as a trope, we know can be kind of played out, kind of boring, and a little too predictable. This asks the question, what if the king was a zombie? You have a zombie king, and then there's layers of, well, but the people can't know that the king is a zombie, and the king has to live because of these other things. So they're keeping this zombie king a secret. And meanwhile, more people are turning into zombies, and it's all done in this lush, such a believable, for to me, reenactment of the time period. Everyone is wearing
gorgeous,
amazing hats.
Oh, yeah.
That are vertical.
Yeah.
That are horizontal.
The craft in this is incomparable.
There are beads along the strap of the hat.
Especially
I'm so obsessed with it. Every time I see it, I see the little beads flapping with the movement. I think this is a revolution of fashion that my eyes have never seen before.
Oh, man.
But it's also done. I think it's got great acting and great story. Well, I love this show.
You know one of the actors.
Do I?
Bae Doona. Yes, you do. You've seen three of her things.
Is she in Bong Joon-ho's films?
She is in The Host and in Barking Dogs Never Bite, Bae Doona.
Who's she in The Host? Do you know?
She's the sister in The Host.
The sister. Okay. Yeah. And is she like the main woman here?
Yes, I think. Okay. So the episode that I saw, she was like tending to someone.
So you watched one episode, huh?
I watched a few episodes.
Did you?
I mean, it just like, okay, I fell asleep. So like,
that sounds like a personal problem.
I mean, you fell asleep during Metropolis, so
that is a long film. It's in black and white.
Kingdom is like 8 hours.
Oh, but you break it up. You break it up into episodes.
I don't like doing that.
Don't hurt yourself in this way.
No. I like being consistent because I actually am a scholar.
This is not iPrison, which is what I call a movie.
It's like a miracle that you ever were like an AMC Stubbs member.
I want to go back to AMC Stubbs so bad.
Clinton's like, fuck movies.
I want to pay money to have to be forced to watch something that I don't even really want to see, but I will see it just to get the money, to get the benefit of the AMC Stubbs
membership.
Whereas
you could just skip that by not doing any of it.
Oh, no. I must return to my iPrison.
Are you going to go see Tenet when it's released?
I keep hearing the goofs about it, but I haven't watched the trailer. I don't know what that is. All I know is people are making fun of it.
Okay, we don't have to get into it. So, yes. I mean,
this show is good. Okay. King, I think King Zombie is an awesome idea. And furthermore, this show rocks. I've watched it fully once. I started to rewatch it for the podcast, and I'm psyched to finish it. And I haven't seen any of season two, so I'm very excited for that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I actually saw things that season two is better than season one. So,
well, that's going to blow my mind because I love season one.
My main gripe is that it just is so boring. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's just like it crawls at such a pace.
Dang, that disagree. Even
and so I couldn't connect with it. And I watched it with Delia because Delia likes Korean dramas. And I was like, okay, you are predisposed to like this.
But don't know that it is.
It definitely is. I know that you probably don't think so because in America, horror series and drama series are very different. But even watching the little bit of Kingdom that I saw, I have no doubt. I mean, it does get gory. I did see some bits of that and I did see the action.
Oh, there's a beheading in the first 90 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. But even you see, that's what I mean. Like, it is, that's not uncommon.
Made okay. for HBO. Well, I guess here's my counter argument is that
it's definitely,
it feels like Game of Thrones. To me, Game of Thrones was way drama. More boring than the first episode. I was agree. Way more boring than the first episode.
I agree. I hate yeah. Game of Thrones.
But I wouldn't say Game of Thrones is a Korean drama, you know?
No, it's a drama though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, it felt more like Game of Thrones, like something I'm used to.
Yeah. A drama.
Yeah.
You're like proving my point. But what I'm saying is that it does have that horror element and that part's interesting.
Yeah.
But I, in general, just, I can't get over the melodrama of it. Huh. Like it just
kind of. So you don't like the political intrigue stuff?
I don't think it's that interesting. I mean, just the way that it was told. Yeah. I will just say that. Like, okay. It just felt
like. Did you like Game of Thrones? I forget.
No, I hated Game of Thrones. Oh, okay. So it's just, I will give you that. It's better than Game of Thrones. Okay. But I think, like, almost anything is better than Game of Thrones.
Much,
I think
Patal. How much Game of Thrones did you.
It's better than Game of Thrones. I'm not even trying.
How much Game of Thrones did you watch?
I watched the first three seasons and then I watched the last season. I even watched the last season.
Yeah.
I just, like. Yeah. Well, caught up on
I
Wikipedia.
Feel like that could have only brought it down, but yeah. Okay.
Right. So, but I will say this, despite the fact that I do think it was personally hard to get into for me, I think that if you're into melodrama, mm-hmm. if you're into really beautiful sets and cinematography, then Kingdom's really good. And it's really popular. It is one of Netflix's biggest global hits. And it's something that the creator and the writer said that they didn't expect, but they're really happy about it.
We just made this small thing, $2 million an episode. We thought it was nobody would watch it.
That's kind of the approach that they do have to it. But also.
But I guess. I wanted to.
Go ahead.
I wanted to erase what I just said because as Korean filmmakers, they probably aren't you. Like, it's not the standard to make a Korean drama and get worldwide acclaim, I guess. Like, they would hope that it would be a Korean.
I wouldn't say that because the second season was already announced before the first season premiered.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they definitely were banking on something. And also, this series. So, I have a problem with a lot of the series that we watched today for personal as well as authorial reasons. And I will say Kingdom is kind of the least bad of them. But Kingdom's problem is actually more of a problem with the whole South Korean entertainment industry. And I don't want to sound like we're superior because we're not American. They're horrific American labor laws. And the only reason why the entertainment industry is so padded is because they have unions, you know, and the unions limit how long film sets can be. This is all leading into the fact that a lot of, a couple of crew members died while making Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because in South Korea, and this is like a South Korean film production standard, they don't have to break to shoot. They literally can do a 12-hour shoot back to back with a 12-hour shoot without there being any legal ramifications for that.
Yeah.
And so one of them died due to overwork.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And another one died on a car accident on set.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but if you think about it, these series, they're so high production and they come out so quickly. Kingdom season 3 is already being shot right before this or whatever. They're working on it this year. And so I thought that was interesting to learn about. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
Delia told me that. And she was like, yeah, but that's not even weird because even Korean dramas that have less budgets usually have at least one person die because of exhaustion.
Wow.
So that's, and I mean, the sad part is that there's also a really big problem with the idol culture in South Korea. The Korean pop stars, they have like the highest rate of suicide in the industry or something. And so it's just interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see, especially when these things are marketed, right? Like, what seems to be important, right? But kingdom.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Those are important issues for sure.
It's just something I think to think about,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
because you could have made that without killing people, you know?
Well, no, what I was about to say is it also just gets you reflective on how the American film industry has even come along, because I mean, they used to coke up 13-year-old Judy Garland, you know, to make movies.
Was that Wizard of Oz or
Wizard of Oz and a couple of other movies? And you know, that was less than 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this. The South Korean film industry as we know it right now, uh-huh, is only about like 20 to 30 years old. So it's just interesting. It's just really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But kingdom.
But kingdom.
It is such one thing that I wanted to say. Yeah. It is such a hit that every single time I watched a lot of interviews for Batal.
Okay.
Consistently, every single journalist would be like, so were you inspired by Kingdom?
Really?
Very close to Kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Every single one. I watched at least five.
Wow. Interesting that it is such a hit that they, in other international markets, yeah, that they would be like.
These were Indian press markets.
Right. I wouldn't think that. And also, I don't think that Batal has anything in common with with Kingdom. One thing I will say about the content, another thing I want to add about the content in Kingdom, upon rewatching, I forgot how funny it is. And I have such a sweet spot for things that can be serious, funny, scary, that they can just hit different emotional points without sacrificing the reality of the world they're building. So yeah. I thought that was really fun. And especially as to watch an international movie that you don't even speak the language of, and to still laugh, that's hard.
Yeah, but in Korea's general defense, mm-hmm, we have watched a lot of Korean films, and I think every single time we do, you're like, I always laugh at some point.
That's
and
true.
It's just true. It's part of their culture.
There is that one director you really like,
Park Chan-wook.
Yeah, and he doesn't have that same.
Yes, he does. Humor. You just don't get his dark humor.
It's a little dark. Maybe
you've watched like one of his movies. You watched Thirst, and Thirst
is
hilarious.
I've also seen the other
Old Boy.
No,
I don't think you've seen any other ones.
What about the one that's a sequel?
The one that's
of the trilogy,
Old Boy.
That's the Old Boy trilogy.
Is Old Boy the one where he's locked up for 13? Is that the one that you're thinking of?
No.
Then what are you thinking of?
I'm so far gone. I'm sorry.
You are far gone.
I'll figure it out when it comes back to me.
And you liked Thirst, so whatever. You didn't like Thirst as much as Bonk.
Yeah. Okay.
Thirst is hilarious.
Thirst is yours. Thirst is your thing. You know.
I'm about to fight this man. I love Thirst. Yeah, Kingdom, sure.
Yeah.
It's the least problematic of all of these three, I will say.
It wins that gold medal.
Hey, it counts for something.
It's a firm recommendation for me. Yeah,
Kingdom. Yeah, okay, cool. So next is La Frontera Verde.
Víctimas son misioneras de la iglesia del Edén. Es una secta de solo mujeres.
¿Y cómo le sacaron el corazón sin dejar ningún rastro de sangre?
Un mensaje.
Una amenaza.
Esa cara nos muestra la edad que tiene.
Eso no lo hizo ningún indígena. Solamente un hombre blanco es así de sabio.
¿Un quién?
Un demonio.
Llevo días estudiándote. Quiero que me enseñes a ver cómo tú ves.
Yo no soy quien para darle esos secretos.
La electricidad, chica. Chama, chayugu. tienes que ver más allá de ti misma.
¿Y algo?
No hay ninguna idea.
Gracias a Dios de que la mandaron a usted a salvar la selva.
Okay, and that was La Frontera Verde. Or if you want to watch on Netflix, it would be Under the Green Frontier. This was created by Ciro Guerra, and he is a Colombian director. He is probably the most well-known Colombian director right now. He is the only Colombian director that's ever been nominated for an Oscar.
Ooh, what was that for, do you know?
The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Oh, the Embrace of the Serpent?
No, there you go. I think The Serpent and the Rainbow is a different movie.
Okay.
The Embrace of the Serpent, yes. That was nominated for an Oscar a couple years
2015,
ago.
2015,
yes, 2015. That's absolutely right.
I got the old IMDb up here.
Yeah, and so it was created by him, but unlike Kingdom, it did have multiple directors throughout. And so there were quite a few lady directors. One of them is Laura Mora. And I watch a lot of interviews with the actors. Luckily, I speak Spanish. And they were talking about that a lot. So that was really interesting to hear from them. And yeah.
And this movie features Miguel Dionisio Ramos.
Okay.
Who plays Yua. And he is like the lead indigenous character.
Yeah.
And he actually, I think, is the lead indigenous character in Embrace of the Serpent. I'm not sure about that, but he's on the box cover. So I'm thinking it might be true.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a few interesting people in this. Though the woman that plays Usha, she is not indigenous to the tribe. That is central to the story. But she is an Afro-Colombian.
Okay.
I wanted to look her up, but she's the only one. The rest of them are indigenous. Yes. The rest of them are indigenous. She was the only one that wasn't, but she stayed with the indigenous tribe for a very long time.
Stayed with them for a very long time?
Yeah. So let me explain a little bit. Well, first, actually, tell them what Green Frontera is about.
In the jungles of the Amazon, at the border of Brazil.
And Colombia.
There are murders, horrific murders of women in like church gowns.
Yeah. Well, there's nuns in this. Yes.
Okay. So the sisters, they've been murdered.
Las monjas.
And there's one woman that is found hanging with her heart ripped out.
And that is Usha.
And thus starts our really crime, fantasy, drama, suspense series. I don't know to be honest, I'm not sure if this is really horror.
It's horror in the sense that it is symbolic of the indigenous people's horrors.
Okay.
You know, it's definitely a social horror. I would definitely fight for that. It's definitely a genre piece, period.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I the other two series that we watched are zombie series, mm-hmm. and they're compared to each other all of the time. So Green Frontier was kind of the outlier here. But the reason why I wanted to keep it was because of the involvement of the indigenous people. Mm-hmm. So Ciro Guerra, he is a white Colombian, and he has been making movies connected to indigenous cultures and with indigenous people for quite a long time. And he's really the only Colombian director with such a stature that has been trying to teach the tricks of the trade to these people and bringing their culture to mainstream Colombia and on a global platform, really. And you know, whenever you hear about things like that, like when we were researching Baccarat, I always want to know what is the response within the indigenous communities. And Ciro Guerra, more than honestly any other director I've ever researched before, well, in Latin America, the indigenous peoples of Colombia are very, feel very connected to him. Set up screenings specifically close to them. That way they can watch the movies or series that he did, because The Embrace of the Serpent was a really big hit and it had a strong indigenous involvement. And it was one of the first times that that ever happened. And this is actually the first series, the first Colombian series that features actual indigenous actors as well. But even he himself, when he was talking about creating Green Frontier, them, as in the cast and the writers and the directors, they went out to kind of like the village within the Amazon to kind of get the blessing to shoot there and learn more about the culture. And he said that he wanted to learn even from The Embrace of the Serpent, which was received very well by the indigenous community. He's like, but it can't just be representation. It's really about empowering them to tell their own stories. And I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, that's really impressive. Yeah. I actually think I liked Green Frontier more than all of them. It's the one I watched the most of. I almost finished it. But the thing about Green Frontier, like Kingdom, it was just really drama. And
did you
try
to watch it all at once?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And again.
Stop.
And again, like, it just was just flat for me, you know?
So where does it flatten? Because I do think I enjoyed the front half more than the back half.
I would actually disagree.
You like the back half?
I feel
better?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I think what happened is like around episode 6 or 5, I felt fatigued by information. I felt like they weren't explaining things clearly enough. And I hadn't done research yet. And I was like, man, I can't really tell the angle of this.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, let me do research on it. And then if I feel like I just need to give it another mind frame, I will.
Yeah.
Which happens to me sometimes. And I totally was going to. But maybe I'll save my comments until after you talk about how you feel about the series overall.
Okay. So what I initially loved was the amount of indigenous people.
Yeah.
And how
it's a good half.
You know, I can recognize that I'm seeing something that could be perceived as like a negative stereotype. So the indigenous person who the two main characters of the indigenous people both have like magic powers. And so I know from
From
what I've learned, that this could be a negative thing.
Right.
But they are presented in this show for me as more like so cool and powerful and sympathetic that it was more like a superhero that I was like, oh, I want this guy to like, I just want to watch everything this guy does.
Yeah. And that was very intentional because he spoke in depth with them about their cultures and how they wanted to adapt and act in it as well. Because even though Usha, I mean, she might be indigenous. I mean, she's not indigenous to the tribe. She may have indigenous blood. But even though Usha isn't of the tribe, about the rest of them are, including the main guy. And another thing I wanted to bring up, even though Ciro Guerra did create the series, he obviously didn't direct every single one. And so a lot of the actresses on set said that, you know, it felt like they were making stories about women. And I will say that that's very true. And something that they said that had incredible nuance to me, because you can't say this in English, is they said that everything that surrounded them was of the female spirit. And what they meant by that is that they were in la selva, la frontera, las mujeres, la monja. So they were like, and this is said by more than one of them, they were like, the fact that everything around us felt like of Mother Nature, it felt like we were making, you know, stories of our ancestors, of, mm-hmm. of the women that haven't had a voice. And I thought that was really interesting.
And this was shot in the jungle.
Yes, yeah. It was. It was shot, yeah.
On Netflix, you can watch a little making of. It's like,
oh, really?
6 minutes, 5 minutes long. And you see them just getting drenched by water sitting on logs and talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie or this show is beautiful.
It is.
Scenically.
Yeah.
I think the one character I didn't really care, I liked the character, but I didn't care about her backstory. And that's probably the main character in the show.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't really care. But I did love this show.
You know, it's funny. I just started The Wire, and I don't like McNulty. And someone told me, yeah, he's like the Piper Chapman of the series.
Yes, that's
and,
pretty accurate.
And so now, having that reference,
yeah.
thinking of what you just said, I'm like, yeah, she's kind of like the Piper Chapman of the girlfriend. Because it's true.
Yeah.
She's kind of like...
And it enters
the one that happens everything to, but she's not the most interesting part at all.
Not the most interesting part. And it's the most part where I think it's a little bit more fraught, where it's like, okay, well, you have this white Brazilian person or white Colombian person.
Right.
And are they going to save the day, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it kind of enters some of that into some of that territory. The thing that stands out that I remember that really hit me the hardest was when they do these scenes where they enter into like the heart of the forest, or they enter into this like trippy mind space.
I know what you're talking about.
Where
yeah.
there's just like yeah. this beautiful
It was
colors.
So kind of like Twin Peaks. That looked so budget though.
Really?
You know,
it got me the first time I watched it. I was like, oh yes, psychedelic.
I actually think the gore on Kingdom looked pretty budget. I thought it looked,
the hater, the haterisms.
And then in Green Frontier,
yeah,
I think the jungle shots are gorgeous.
Yeah.
I even think the makeup is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Like the heart thing, like I thought that looked as good as it could be, kind of. But the dream trippy thing, oh my God, it
you
looked
like
MS Paint.
Second time I watched it, I thought that, but first time I watched it, I was like struck. You couldn't have told me that wasn't like,
it is interesting.
Magical.
I think the story is the most interesting of the three, for sure. I think Kingdom is missing some empathy almost.
Oh, actually, I think you're missing empathy.
I couldn't connect to anyone, but in Green Frontier, I did connect to a few. I just... Not well enough.
Not
I was
enough.
Like,
how much did you watch? 4 episodes?
No, I want to say at least 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Almost maybe even 7.
That's probably almost the whole thing.
But it was literally, so what happened is I was speaking to, because I did feel like my patience get thinner. And so I told Clinton about it, and Clinton was like, well, you don't have to watch all of it. And I'm like, good.
Yeah, which I thought was going
to
be advice.
Better Call Saul to watch.
I thought I was going to be calling on that and quitting on Batal, but no, I ended up finishing everything.
Well, Batal is like 4 episodes.
Yeah, that was. I might have quit at 3 if I had given myself.
But you were like, might as well.
Yeah, at 4, I was basically at the end.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, all that being said, unfortunately, I do think Green Frontier is forever spoiled now.
Because?
The creator was, like, within the last week, was just exposed for raping 10 different women.
No way.
In different places, like New York Film Festival, film festivals in... Most of them were usually through networking things.
Ugh.
And it was, you know, I always believe the victim. Everyone should always believe the victim.
Yeah.
But it especially is like foolproof to me if more than one come out at once. It's just kind of like, okay.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to wait for the law. You did it.
Right.
And so.
Holy mackerel.
That was a really big bummer finding out, honestly. But yeah.
Now, what happens? So, I mean, this is a whole nother conversation, but what happens? Because a lot of people work on this.
I know.
This
that's
is
what
a big conversation that goes a lot, you know, that we could probably talk about for
I thought
days.
That too.
But like you said, all the women involved in this.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a way to big up all the things that are positive and also point out that the person at the top, you know, is a very bad person or has done very, very bad things and that should not be celebrated?
So, you know, this news just, it was 4 days ago that this hit, which is funny. Well, sorry, not, this is
hilarious.
Not funny at all. But I watched Green Frontier 3 weeks ago. It's the one that I started off with. Mm-hmm. And Clinton and I were going to do this podcast about a week ago. And it's just interesting that timing worked that way because it does make me feel differently. But at the same time, I think Green Frontier, more than his other stuff, is something that can be salvaged because there were so many different hands. And yeah, he constructed all of it, but well, like the connections and everything.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. And we also need to acknowledge that sometimes bad people do good things. And I think what happens with Green Frontier, if they decide to, because there's talk about doing a second season, but nothing was confirmed by the time that we've done this. I think it really just depends on what his, like the people around him, how they react to it and what happens. He already responded and said that he's going to be suing them, that it's not true, blah, blah, blah.
Sounds bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But as for his other work, which has been lauded, I mean, it is the only Colombian film to ever be nominated for an Oscar. And he really established a lot of relationships with the indigenous people. Like one comment I saw, like a tweet or something, was that the kind of like bummiest part about all of this, other than obviously this happening in the first place, is the fact that he's the only Colombian director that has taken the time to really represent these communities that other people aren't. And so that's
are doing poorly, I guess.
Yeah. But he really is the only one that cares.
Yeah.
And that's just like a fact.
Huh.
Well, at least
the
in
only
that
one
industry,
that cares who
in
has
that industry
and who has gotten to his level. Because I'm sure there are people.
Exactly. Because there's a gatekeeper.
Yeah, it's a
total gatekeeper kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we've done Columbia genre stuff. And
what have we done?
Know we did The Squad, and that was about 10 years ago.
Okay.
But I just did recent research and Green Frontier is kind of the next closest thing that has been made within a genre sense. So it's unfortunate. I still say check it out, but I do want to mention that because I would definitely feel a certain way. I mean, I feel a certain way about it now, even.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because actually I will say one thing. I did feel like the female portrayals were a little off, but I thought, maybe this is just like consistency kind of thing. But yeah, now looking back on it, I'm like, I wonder.
Yeah.
But
well, and I also wonder, I had some of those thoughts as well watching this. There's like a sex scene in the second episode.
Yeah. So
it just doesn't really need to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but you know what that made me think of?
Yeah.
A movie we just talked about recently, Satanic Panic, and how the maybe producer of that movie, like there's some bunch of bad shit with that too.
Yeah.
That just came out within the past month, I think.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Where there was, I think, even a sex scene in that movie where that just there were some bad things that shouldn't have been going on.
Was it specific to that scene? Or do you mean that you're
Talking about Satanic Panic?
Yeah.
Yes. There's
I didn't
from what
know
I
that.
Know, from what I read, I think.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't read the nature of the allegations. I just read about it spreading, and I wasn't surprised.
So that had me thinking about sex scenes in shows and movies. And yeah. So yeah, when I watched the second episode of this one again, I thought, oh, that scene didn't really need to be there, but I hope it was all good.
I'm always like really sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it happens quite often actually in Netflix series.
Huh.
I mean, that's kind of another critique that I have for all three of these. Even Kingdom is a little bit budget, even though it was so expensive.
Yeah, big budget.
But Green Frontier definitely felt pretty budget in places. And then Batal, I think, is the most budget of them all.
That's real budget, yeah. They have a scene in Batal. Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, so I did want to mention that about Green Frontier. But I will say, I do think that the story is at least the most compelling and the most, like, written with heart, mm-hmm. I will say. I definitely feel like they really were trying to make these big metaphors on family and ancestry and identity. And okay.
Yeah.
Which, fair. All right.
So let's
end it.
Head right into Batal.
All right.
का बच्चा बच्चा जानत है बेताल पहाड़ में काला साया है श्रापित है
लाशों की बात करो
एक ऐसा श्राप जो मिटाए न मिटी आत्मा भी ये सब वो रोगी लाश है ना ओकर का फौज में शामिल हुई
किसकी फौज आपने भी वही देखा था जो मैंने देखा वहां टनल के अंदर
ताकत वापस आ रही है सर
हेलो कोई सुन रहा है अजीब सी साउंड आ रही है वहां से
अब अगर तुमन अपने मुर्दा लोगन ला संभाल नहीं पाए तुमन में से एक को जन भी जिंदा ना बची
कर्नल के आर्मी ने तुम्हें घेर लिया है और उसके कहने पर वो हमला कर देंगे
तुम्हें लगता है वहां अंदर सेफ है
Alrighty, folks, that was a little bit of Batal, the Netflix exclusive, I think, at least here in the U.S.
Yeah, but it was made, you know who it was made with primarily? Blumhouse Television.
Dun, dun.
So, Blumhouse Productions.
Can you remind us what that means?
I mean... If you're listening to this podcast, you know who Blumhouse is. They're the biggest name in horror producing right now.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Jason Blum produced Blumhouse. Get Out.
Oh, yes. Know. Okay. Now I'm back
basically
on track.
Basically every, yeah.
Yeah. Ma.
Literally when
Did he
you,
produce Ma?
Mama. Yeah.
Mama.
When I saw the trailer for Batal, it like the first thing it says is from the makers of Get Out.
Oh, that's what
Purge.
You don't want to see.
And I'm like, okay, but not really.
The makers, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So especially those movies that like have nothing to do with anything that happens other than like what their horror.
Right.
Which is such like a, anyway. But yeah, so Netflix, this was made with Netflix money and Blumhouse money, but the creator is not an Indian man.
Which is really, I still can't wrap my mind around it because this is an Indian production.
His name is Patrick Graham. Yes.
Indian production. Hindi is the language that's spoken.
Yes.
One of the cool things that you get from watching international movies is right. You get information just kind of tangentially. So it was so fascinating to me from a language perspective to hear the Hindi and then characters would just break out into complete sentences in English.
Yeah.
And I just had never, my brain had never heard that before.
Have you seen Indian films?
I've seen like just a couple.
I think Batal is more guilty of it than anything else, but it's not hyper uncommon.
Yeah.
But I think the fact it happens so often in Batal is more of a consequence of Patrick than
so
anything
it could
else.
Be. I did ask my friend who lives in India, who is Indian, and he said that in the city that's more common.
Yeah.
But it's so fascinating
but this
to hear
is a
like
period piece.
Hindi, 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 and then like, hey, can you pick that up? Hindi, 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 you know, and then just like a phrase of like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Hindi, Hindi, Hindi. Period piece.
It's set in the 11th century, right?
Batal?
Yeah.
Okay. How much did you watch?
What do you mean, how much did I watch? It's a historical thing.
Batal?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like 2000 and this is 2000s.
Dude, it's not set in present day. No.
Yeah. Or at least like 2010.
Dude, what is the opening scene of Batal?
Like, remind me. I don't remember.
Dude,
what is it?
This is all, that's why it keeps getting compared to Kingdom.
No.
Did you watch?
Did we watch the same show?
Dude, what did you watch?
I watched Batal, the new one. It's set in modern day.
It is not set in modern
day. I mean, they might do some flashback to explain the zombie situation.
What are you
I'm
talking
fascinated
about?
To know what you watch.
What?
Tell me the story that you know of Batal. You must have watched the same thing, but what are you talking? I'm not sure what you're referring to. Did you watch something different?
Am I exposing
the teacher?
I.
What did you watch? How much of this did you watch? Zero?
No, I watched. I fell asleep again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, I guess. What I meant more was like the soldiers kind of vibe.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway,
but
I'm
here's
sorry.
The, here's the
I
whole...
am wrong. Yeah. It isn't a peer. I think I got confused this morning.
Yeah. 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 So, right. It's not a peer. It happens modern day, but that's kind of where the evil zombies are British soldiers from the.
I think that's what I got confused with because. Yeah. And I'll read this because I wrote in my notes 11th century. Patrick based this on an 11th century fairy tale called Batal Pachisi. And it's an 11th century spirit from Somdev Bat. And it's essentially a story on colonization.
The original story is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the movie is.
Well, he said that.
He based it.
Yeah, he wanted to adapt it to be a metaphor for British colonization.
Yeah.
But are you the one that's supposed to tell that story? Like, I just.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
To.
Blumhouse probably thought that was awesome. They're like.
Yeah, Blumhouse.
We'll take it.
No, so.
This is us.
I do.
But in India.
I do want to call for the two other writers that helped Patrick write this. They are Indian. Mm-hmm. Their names are Nikhil Mahajan and Suhami Kanwar. But you know what's interesting? When I looked up like reactions to this, a lot of them called the series a spoof.
A spoof.
How do you feel about that?
A spoof
that?
Of what?
I think they meant it as an insult.
Yeah. Well, here's what I found. You know, this, well, here's getting into a lot, but India right now has a big right wing.
Yes, like, I know that.
Population, right?
Yes.
So part of this.
Especially Modi.
Right. So part of this movie is the, and there's like an indigenous people in this movie.
Yeah.
That is spelled N-A-X-A-L, I think.
Right.
Naxal.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's pronounced, but which got me researching it a little bit because I was like, oh, interesting.
There are researching.
And Batal, even, which is, okay, this is a schlocky zombie film, essentially, with some bigger political and social questions, but it's a schlocky zombie movie.
Right.
Series. So, but it did get me researching. And there are these native people who are maybe out in the mountains or somewhere, and they are, I think, communist. And so there's this whole history of history between them and the rest of India. So what I noticed from people's reviews, this thing got review bombed on IMDb, and I wonder if it was kind of right wingers who basically, because all the reviews were like, you know, one star or zero or whatever, and none of them really sounded like they watched the movie, but were just mad at the movie
or
the series. I keep saying movie. So I don't know if that's part of it too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe for sure. I definitely feel like that's, well, the spoof comment I actually saw on Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
So it came from an official trade. Yeah. But it was funny because I watched the first episode and clearly I misremembered it.
Yeah.
In pieces. But from what I remember, I don't think it was trying to be funny.
No.
Yeah. And every single interview that I read and saw of Patrick's, he, you know what I really hated that he says in like every single interview?
What do you hate?
He said, you know, it was about time someone brought zombies to India.
Oh.
That is his, literally, that is his main motivation to make this.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, and a lot of people have explored the genre potential of India.
He sounds like a manager of Hot Topic.
Just
opened up a flagship location in India. He's like,
yeah,
it's about time someone got a little edgy around here.
And you know what kills me? Every single time he talks about it, he uses we. He's like, we have the potential to bring more genre things to India. And we should appreciate genre things some more.
Weeing himself as a part of India, or is he weeing like the Western?
Both options are pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think it's actually the India one.
Yeah.
Because usually it says it in relation to we don't do enough or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then he says, that's why I'm doing this.
Uh-huh.
Because actually they, like I said, the kingdom comparisons, he was like, yeah, well, I think a lot of habits that we have in this country is to look at popular things that are globally popular and then say that our work is the same as that globally popular work. But I wouldn't be insulted by the kingdom comparison because I really like it.
And yeah, after he shouldn't be. Kingdom is like way better.
After I heard that, I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I still couldn't figure out this guy's deal. Like, I've read and I watched a couple of interviews. And since this was released in quarantine, a lot of the interviews were done, are done in quarantine.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that he talks over the Indian writers a lot.
Hmm.
And like I say, he just always does like those weird, like passive aggressions. And I keep trying to see, well, was he raised in India and blah, blah, blah. But it really doesn't seem, even his frame of reference is very Western.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I love The Lighthouse and The Witch and, you know, Midsommar. And like, just this really like basic kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't.
His brother wrote.
Oh, really?
Like The Untold History of United States of America or something like that. Did you read
no
that?
No way.
Yeah.
How did you find that out?
I believe it was the wiki, because I was also fascinated by...
I couldn't find this guy on Wikipedia.
Who is this man? Maybe it was IMDb. I'm going to pull it up here.
That's so interesting. Yeah, now, I don't know.
Here's one spoofy part of the show. So the show is this ancient curse gets unleashed because developers try to develop and
like the zombies are like in cages, right?
No. So the zombies all come, and I actually was going to give them credit for the creature design. I actually thought the zombies looked pretty cool.
They look like snakes, like with the... didn't they have like skin falling off of them?
They had red eyes. That was like their major... is their old-timey outfits and their red eyes. But yeah. Then there's one scene that if I close my eyes, I can see it before me right now. And there's just too much. It's like if somebody was being really scary to you and then you turned on the lights and you realize it's a Halloween mask, like there's too much light in the shot and it looks terrible. It just takes the entire... like whatever they've built up in the capital with these scariness and just throws it out the window.
So first off, Clinton is really making me feel crazy. Okay. Feeling like I misremembered all of this.
Yeah,
there is a scene where the zombies are in a cage. I'm looking at
They're
it right now.
They're not in a cage though. They are...
they're like in a jail thing.
No, the people are hiding and they're trying to like break in.
Oh.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when you try to cliff notes your homework, ladies and gentlemen.
As if you don't pay attention or haven't in the past.
Oh my God.
I think I did see the one that you're talking about with too much light. And yeah, they look bad.
They look bad in the light. But in the not light, they look pretty good.
I think almost anything looks good. I look good in the darkness.
You think so? I think I look bad in the darkness. I think I look like more murdery.
You are a man, so it's your predisposition.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The shadows. Here's what I like about Batal. So, first of all, it's fine. It's a 4-episode show. It should really just be clumped into a movie. There's not that many important things being said or done. They could have just chopped probably an entire episode out of this. But I think this would have really been a better popcorn flicks movie.
There's
a twist at the end.
That's a twist.
You just want me to ruin the twist. I'll say this. I saw it coming, but I didn't have enough faith that they would execute the twist. So I just kept thinking, oh my God, this movie would be so much better if they do this, if they do this, if they do this. And then that finally, by the time they do it, I go, okay, well, yeah. I'm glad they do it. But it kind of ruins it because they didn't do it fast enough.
I feel that way about the Americans often.
Really? Yeah.
Yes. So, there will be twists and I'm like, I would have appreciated this like 2 seasons ago.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like the idea. And I saw in an interview that the lead man was in he said and this is probably what every actor says who's in their first like starring role, but he was like, I love the script. And so I don't know if he's lying, but I could actually see that this, like, it's a smart story. There's smart story in there. Yeah. Cause it's also a story about a soldier following orders and how, you know, where that can lead you if you just follow orders and follow orders. There's a really cool scene of possession where like the old British captain, who's like the main villain, he comes and possesses this woman, and eventually she steps into the shadows and his silhouette is kind of off the side of her. And that's really cool. I jotted that down as a note.
That's good.
Here's the stupidest part of the show.
Okay.
Totally unbelievable part where they decide they've trapped themselves in this room to be safe from the zombies, but they decide that what they should really do is get the cannons, which just happen to be in the room, like make them work again, open the doors and blow up every zombie magically in one cannonball of nails and stuff. And before he lights it and the cannon goes off, he goes, I'm not going to do the accent, but he goes something like, this is a hard Brexit, mother effers.
No. Are you kidding?
It was pretty,
that actually sounds like
bad.
The best part.
It kind of was, but you can't. This is an example of something that totally took away from the, you know, you're telling a
it was
serious.
Very inconsistently toned.
Yeah, inconsistent. That's it.
I mean, but I would say that for every single one of these. Except Kingdom.
Well, we know we disagree. Kingdom can do it.
Kingdom is very consistent in the fact that I was bored by it consistently. But that was the problem with Green Frontier. I felt like it didn't explain enough. And I don't need things to be explained. Like, fuck, Better Call Saul. I'm confused half the time.
Yeah.
But what I do think is important is that you make sure that your visual and language match as well if you're trying to tell a complex story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's just something lost in translation I feel like I kept missing out on information every single time.
In Batal or Green Frontier?
No, in Green Frontier.
Yeah.
Batal, whatever. I thought it was a valiant effort.
You thought it was a great period piece with great period lizard piece. Zombies.
cages. No, they look lizardy. I don't know what you, this is like a lizard. That looks like a lizard to me.
Because of the eyes?
It's the also like the
that's like that also is kind of like a the picture we're looking at. Looks like a picture they took for promotional material, but doesn't really look like the movie.
It just looks like leather. I feel like lizard. I've been watching a lizard for the last week or so.
You've been watching a lizard?
Yeah.
A
real lizard.
Okay.
And it's just like,
it's one of my side gigs.
Their skins look like leather. It's really weird.
They are super cool. The original dinos, I would guess.
Yeah, lizards can live. Oh, did I ever talk about two dope lizards? I think it's what it's called. No, I think it's just two lizards. Two lizards.
Okay. No.
Strongly recommend everyone needs to watch Two Lizards. It's an Instagram series. So each episode is only about 2 to 3 minutes long.
Okay.
And just Google it. If you Google Two Lizards series, the New York Times did
a
big...
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's easily the best thing I think that's been made in quarantine.
Okay. Let me follow up with the worst thing. This is something when we did our pre-show.
Yeah.
We did a little bit of chatting about what we've been watching.
Did something come to
I
mind?
I forgot.
Oh, God.
Oh, did you hear that in the background? That is awesome. That was the Netflix menu opening sound. So what I watched was thanks to you.
Oh, no.
Which was horrifying.
What?
Perdita Durango.
What's that?
That's the Rosie Perez, Javier Bardem.
No.
Bardem.
Yeah, Javier Bardem. Oh my God.
It was remarkable. It was horrible. It was so many things. We have to talk about it. And you have to submit your eyeballs to what I've seen in that movie. Yeah.
What?
That slowed me down from watching these shows because it took me 3 or 4 tries to get through it.
Can you like give us a taste as to why?
I'll give you a reason why you should watch it. Javier is insane.
He's a good one.
And he plays the most insane I've maybe ever seen.
Even more than God, what was his name in No Country for Old Men?
Yeah, I never saw that.
Oh, okay, then you don't have a right to say that.
But I do because I've watched this movie, which is insane.
It's an old movie too, right?
From
early 90s?
No. I was going to say early 2000s. Maybe 97? That number sounds good. Rosie Perez also plays an insane character.
97.
Rosie Perez and Javier Bardem are like the Bonnie and Clyde of insanity. And there's so much to unpack.
So the reason, I really love the birds, man. Do you hear the birds now?
I do, but there's no way anyone hears the birds. You're going to need to edit in
bird noises.
No,
they do hear the birds. No, they do.
You're going to have to squeak, squeak.
Do you think that we would hear the birds if we didn't have this? I don't think Clinton understands how sound works.
I am still.
And he thinks that because it's in the distance, why do you think I turn off the refrigerator?
Right, but that was like a... decibels, you know? You gotta think in terms of decibels.
You think in terms of frequency.
I forgot about frequency.
You're such a dumbass. That's like the first lesson of intro to sound.
Okay, well, what lesson's decibels? Okay, I guess I skipped that.
No, but the reason why I suggested this to Clinton is, as I said, I was reworking my horror class. I was on Canopy, and Perdido was... suggested to me.
Yeah.
And so I clicked on it, and the first thing I saw was this film from Alex de la Iglesia that stars Rosie Perez and Javier, but because it's in English,
this
right?
This sounds like my dream movie.
Yeah.
It's actually,
as it kept going,
my nightmare.
I was like, this has to be like exactly for Clinton.
Yes.
I told him, log on to Canopy. You have that library card. And I guess that was
and
the result.
That was the beginning of the end.
How do you feel about Alex de la Iglesia now?
Oh, wow. This one, one day we should do a retrospective because he's been a lot of places. He's done a lot of things.
Yeah,
some good.
He's done a lot of movies though, right?
There's a lot. Yes, he has.
That's the only
and
thing.
This one has the worst English name, release name, The Last Dance.
Dance with the Devil?
The Dance with the Devil, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is, Dance with the
that
Devil.
That sucks. This should have been Perdita Durango. That should have been it in
English,
too.
Is that just
too.
The name?
That's her name.
Then that's dumb. Why didn't they do that?
They should have, because Dance with the Devil, give me a break.
Well,
how generic.
To be fair, like if someone says that name to me without any context, like just tells me that that's the name of a movie, I'd be like, yeah, it sounds like a 90s home video release.
Yeah.
Sounds like fucking Mirror Mirror, like Mirror Mirror quality.
I was thinking about Mirror Mirror the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm telling you, that one actress was so good.
Rainbow Harvest.
She was the bully and she was so good.
Oh, no, not Rainbow
Harvest.
It
wasn't Rainbow Harvest.
Right.
It
You're
was
the one
the...
that liked the girl with the tits.
Oh, my gosh. Have some respect.
Sorry, the lady with the tits.
Have some. We are not that kind of podcast, okay?
Okay, we're going off on tangents. Yeah. No, but this was, you know, even though I didn't really like anything that we watched, I thought it was... interesting, because it also reminds me that I'm just really picky with TV series, because actually I feel the same way with Netflix series across the board.
Which is?
Because at first I was like, wow, am I xenophobic? But then I was like, oh no, I just really don't like Netflix series. Because even the English ones, American ones, the UK ones.
Yeah, you don't like any
I've
of them.
Started the... only one I've ever liked is Stranger Things. And I swear to God, I think it's because I already have a boner for that time period. Because whenever...
I thought you were going to say four children.
No. Because every single time...
This podcast is falling apart.
Every single time someone says that they don't like it, I never defend it. I'm like, yeah I get it. It's a bit budget.
Oh, really?
So I genuinely can't think of any other Netflix series that I really fuck with.
Yeah.
Can you think of one that I fuck with?
Well, you do fuck with Stranger Things very hard, very
I
much
do.
So.
I do. You gave me, Clinton gave me a little action figure for my birthday and it made my day.
Yes.
Yes. But I really don't think, I sat there and I was like.
You can't think of another one, huh?
I can't.
Wow.
I can't. I actually like their movies better.
What
like
a
actually.
Freak.
One, I don't know if Nailed It counts. I like Nailed It, but Nailed It just
it. What was that?
It's the baking one.
Aye,
whatever.
Aye,
yeah,
aye,
that doesn't count.
Come
that doesn't
on,
count.
Commoner.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a horror podcast, you commoner.
Yeah.
Reality.
No, I loved the Lovebirds.
Was that Adam Sandler?
No, that was Issa Rae and yes. Kumail Nanjiani.
Was that a Netflix movie, though?
Yeah, it was a Netflix movie.
I thought that was like a theater movie.
No, it was a Netflix movie. Oh, okay. I loved that.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved the Between Two Ferns movie, but that's kind of like
was
a pre-existing.
A movie, huh? Condition?
Yeah. No, it's of a yours? you know what? I actually tried to watch Eurovision yesterday.
Oh, no.
It was really bad.
I've been hearing some bad reviews.
Oh, it's really bad. I think that movie was just made for Eurovision, like fans.
Why does Will Ferrell suck now?
I don't agree with
that. You don't agree with that? Well, why wasn't it? It wasn't his fault that it wasn't good?
I mean, he did co-write it. I think he or whoever idea it was to do that movie was just like a Eurovision fan.
Yeah.
And they were like, let's make fun of Euro. Because I knew that a lot of the jokes were tied to Eurovision. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't care about Eurovision.
Oh, no. Probably.
So it was just like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It was like scary movie level funny. So it was just like really like. Like joke is like, you know what though? Dan Stevens is in it. And you know I love Legion. Legion is fucking in it. Yeah. And I was like, Legion.
Yeah, Legion.
And he was easily the best part, but even with him, I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry, dude. I don't love you enough to I didn't finish it.
I will
it.
Not follow you.
I
here.
Was like,
because
okay,
I
done.
Would do anything
okay.
for love.
So next time,
do
we
you think
going...
about that song a lot?
I hate that song.
Do you?
I hate Meatloaf.
Okay. Next okay. time, are yeah. we doing Aliens?
It depends.
Or what are we doing?
We might do Aliens. We might do satires. We might do Latin America again. We're going to do something.
But if we do Latin America again, it won't just be like Latin America again, right? It'll be like,
I'm going to make you watch more. Like, what does that even mean?
It'll be like, pow, 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 Latin America 2019. What's going on right
2020.
Now?
2020.
2020.
We did 2019 last year.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Fresh, yeah, what's going on?
No, yeah.
It'll be
a good
you know,
one.
We'll have some like really, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll really get you.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And anything else?
And hit the social medias.
Yeah, hit the social medias.
Follow us.
Yeah.
Or just listen to the podcast.
Go be good people.
Let
as
us
well.
Know if you, you have, know. If you go be good people.
Yes. You know, by the time this comes out, the Black Horror special one will have come out.
All right. So that's what's up next for
that's
you?
That's what's, well, it will have already come out.
Oh, it will have come out. So, yes. Okay, gotcha.
So we're listening to it
in the future.
No. But really, in general, now is a very important time to be aware, to help out in the ways that you can. And of course, to always be safe. You know, I will say, this is going to sound like a humble brag. I meant to mention this to you earlier, but I might as well just say it now, is I really strongly sympathize with most, apparently, of the country that don't live in like New York or Northern Virginia or DC, because mask mandates have been a thing here since the beginning. Well, no, since late May, but I don't feel it's ever been a problem. But I know like Florida and, you know, even liberal states, mm-hmm. you know, like they're really having trouble with that.
With getting people to wear masks.
Yeah. I don't know what your experience has been, but I never don't see people without masks.
Yeah.
It's like out of the last 4 months, it's only been twice in public.
Yeah.
And I think I told you of the one time that it happened in public and I started shit with the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and I feel like it's the same in DC. Well, no, I'm sorry. Georgetown sucks.
Yeah, I think tourists for DC is the big, because we get a lot of people from all over the country. So yeah, tourists,
I haven't been to the National Mall.
A little reckless for generally maybe. But you've also been quarantining pretty hard. So you don't go out every day, right? You don't go.
I am super quarantined.
I do think that where we are, because we live pretty close to each other, there are more masks. More people are wearing masks more. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see it like walking, but I actually read that like walking and maintaining distance is not necessary or something. Though I don't. I always wear a mask regardless. Yeah. But what I'm saying is like, if I see people in the neighborhood walking without them, I don't think that they...
That shouldn't be like a high risk for transmission.
Yeah. Because I mean, no one should be going near them.
Because you're not probably 6 feet.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
But if you're, you know, out in public.
Yeah.
Wear a mask, guys.
Wear a mask. Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
We believe that Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely. I always feel weird talking about this because it always feels like I have to qualify it. But, you know, my dad's Black. This is very personal to me. My brother, which we've talked about on the podcast before, he's Black. And so I've been doing a lot of things to kind of eat. Anyway, just be good people. You know,
be good people. Support the movement. Be anti-racist. You know,
it's not enough just to be complacent.
Mm-hmm. We're an international. Well, this podcast is about observing, lifting other voices internationally.
Yeah.
So I think it does fall within our wheelhouse to big up. The Black Lives Matter movement.
I mean, Black horror, there's a reason why Black horror is different to American horror, because the American horror experience has marginalized Black people within the industry. And so that's something that I went into in the Black horror special pod. And it's something that we just have to keep in mind. That's why we look at even other cinematic industries and see how the absence of voices sometimes says more than the presence of the voices themselves. Like, I revisited the Bolivia stuff again recently, and it still blows my mind that the few Bolivian filmmakers that have made horror films, they're like, yeah, we're not interested in appealing to the Bolivian market because they are not educated enough to understand our approach. And that really is a dig to the fact that Bolivia is majority indigenous. It's the only Latin American country with that. And so, I mean, the Black Lives Matter movement as well matters hugely in Latin America. And it's been actually shaking up a lot of things publicly in Latin American media. Like, there have been public firings. There's even like tides shifting with really popular Latin American artists and things like that. And I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's so past overdue. And we just need to, this isn't over until, you know, Black people are liberated, until trans lives are treated with respect, until our immigration system honestly is dismantled. And that's something that's personal to both me and Clinton. So we definitely, you know, pay attention to stuff. I pay attention to La Colectiva, which is based in Nova, right? Black Lives Matter DC chapter is amazing. Follow them on the socials. They post a lot of action items. And I started following BLM Nova on Instagram. They're not an official chapter. I think some Black Mason students run it. But especially if you live in Nova like me, especially if you live in Fairfax, Falls Church, so a little bit outside of Alexandria and Arlington, they post a lot of action items for that. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff.
All right. It's 4:20, so we should go.
Uh-oh. Are we going to have to edit this part out?
You're so stupid. It is 420. Okay. What do you want to tell you?
Till next time, stay spooky.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.